The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Our next guest now, Matt Maley. And Matt Maley, of course, the last time we met him, it was in Boston at South Station when we did our broadcast from there, launching Bloomberg 1294.5 FM HD2. But now he is with us, equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Matt, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
What are you making of these moves today? The 10-year yield stabilizing a little bit now, but 2.38% still.
Well, it's run right into a pretty major resistance level at 2.4%. That's the highs from each of the last 2 years. So it doesn't surprise me. It's obviously had a big move higher, which of course means the price is much lower on the bonds. So the fact that it's kind of readjusted to this change in policy by the Fed is maybe run its course for a very short term, and maybe in for a little bit of a breather here before it tries to move higher again.
Well, and maybe this has been so long awaited. It's like everybody's saying, yeah, let's sell today. Let's see how far it goes down before we jump back in, because this has been everyone's prediction. And it became at least partly obvious to some people that at this meeting, the Fed chairman could reconfirm this. Some were thinking he was going to take back what he said after the last FOMC meeting, right? That he was going to shut the door on tapering off on the bond purchases. Now the door is wide open, but it's not necessarily that the Fed's going to go through it right away, because as he said, watching the economy.
Well, exactly. The problem we do have is with the stock market is that really it hasn't really priced in much of this new policy, I would say, new tapering policy, whether it started now or later. I believe it's actually even already started in a very quiet way. But most of the other markets, especially the U.S. Treasury market, we've seen a significant rise in rates really even before they started jawboning it back in late May. So yes, I agree. I think that some of the traders try to push and see if we could take that key resistance level out. And when it's failed to do so, hopefully it'll settle back in a little bit over the next couple of days. But really, this is going to be a long-term issue over the rest of the summer to see that's going to be a key level. Watch 2.4% on the 10-year bond. It gets higher than that.
What do you mean that it started already in a quiet way, Matt?
Well, in other words, the Fed doesn't. The QE is not the only thing that they have at their disposal to impact the amount of liquidity that's in the marketplace. I mean, they've been impacting levels of liquidity since they opened their doors 100 years ago, and QE has only been around for a couple of years. So they have a lot of things at their disposal. So they don't necessarily have to cut back on their $85 billion a month in purchases to have a little less liquidity flowing around in the marketplace.
I'm so happy you mentioned the 2.4% on the 10-year, because the 10-year, if you look at your Bloomberg terminal, you can see the screen. There was even a brief spike up to 2.46, right? But Tom Tucci was on yesterday from CIBC World Markets ahead of the Fed policy statement release and then the press conference, and he said he could see a quick move up in the yield. Who didn't, right? If they were to open
right.
that door further.
Right.
But he said 2.4, 2.5, that's where he sees the top in yields, and at those levels, buyers would come in. Is that what we're seeing?
Definitely. We'll see if that lasts. I mean, it's like anything else. We spiked above it. The markets frequently on a when you're looking at technical analysis, we can have head fakes all the time. So just because it ticked a couple of points above that level doesn't mean it's going to stay there. So you need it to be a meaningful move, and a move that lasts for a couple of days. It seems to me, that now as soon as that move looks like it has failed, at least for the day, for the rest of today, and hopefully for the next couple of days, buyers will have come back in and into the bond market, which takes yields down, and hopefully that'll settle things down a little bit. The one thing we do have to concern ourselves a little bit, though, in the credit markets away from the U.S., of course, is what's going on in China.
Right, exactly. A slowdown overnight in China, too, manufacturing, and also this potential liquidity problem at one of the bigger banks. It may even be ICBC, right, Matt?
Exactly. The thing is, I don't want to start bringing things back to 2008, but the SHIBOR rate, which I think yesterday 99% of the people had never followed and are just becoming aware of it in the last 2 days, but the SHIBOR rate is the equivalent of the LIBOR rate over in China. And remember back in 2008, those things just the LIBOR rate spiked up several days, and then along for several weeks, and it showed a freezing up of the credit markets in Europe and around the world. Now we're starting to see huge spikes in the SHIBOR rate in China, and that's bringing concerns into the marketplace that there's a freezing up of the credit markets in China.
But you know, the Chinese market is a state-controlled market. There really are no credit markets the way we know credit markets in China, right? The government is the one that pulls those strings and determine where things ends up.
I agree, and that's why it's not hasn't spilled over in a major way. Because remember what happened with the LIBOR rates, and when they shot up, they shot up all over the world. After that, shot up in China, shot up in the U.S., throughout Asia, et cetera. So the fact that is what you say is not necessarily mean that we're going to have a freezing up in credit markets all over the world like we did back in 2008. But it does raise concerns about what China is doing. Are they starting to pull liquidity back in a major way? If that's the case, that's going to affect a lot of other economies.
But what about the emerging markets more broadly? A lot of people are starting to raise the red flag there that in the United States is probably we're on better ground economically, structurally. But a lot of the emerging markets have had these big flows in, and if the Fed's shifting gears, less liquidity out there, and at least the perception of less liquidity, and that they're the markets that could get really hit.
Yeah, so they've already seen more significant hits than our markets have already. The one thing I worry about, though, is that there is just a huge amount of leverage in all the markets around the world. And whenever there is, when you start to get selling in markets that are highly leveraged, the market, there's not enough money. They take the money when they sell those markets that they're highly leveraged in, like the emerging markets or in the treasury market. They turn around. What do? Do they buy U.S. stocks? Well, that's a lot of people are saying. But usually, because they're so levered, the money they take has to go to pay margin accounts and things like that. There's not as much money left over to buy U.S. stocks as some people might think. So this great rotation trade, whether it be out of treasuries into U.S. stocks or emerging markets into U.S. stocks, may not be as viable as some people are thinking.
Matt, do you think the Fed is concerned enough about the trajectory of inflation?
Well, it's funny. I still think they're more worried about deflation than anything else, and it's interesting. My whole concern right now, and I think the way you guys were talking about earlier about the economy, is it really all that strong? And we heard Jeff Gundlach and some others saying that they think rates are going to go a lot lower because of a weakening global economy. And he pointed to copper and some other things, some of the stuff that I've been talking about, lumber, et cetera. But the problem is that we have the Fed, I think, isn't so much saying that the economy is doing better. I think they saw an 80% rally in the U.S. market, in the Japanese stock market. I think huge rallies in the junk market, in our U.S. stock market. I think they're more concerned about not deflating, but just calming things down a little bit in the markets a little bit. This may be all of a jawbone move, which would be positive long term. I think they were just more concerned about taking the punch bowl away.
Well, but that's so interesting.
Nobody talks about it anymore, but I think that's what they're doing.
Well, that was, the vanishing punch bowl is what I think Brian Westbury called it. Or was that you? Anyway, but as I've read so many notes this morning, but anyway, all these smart notes kind of go together in one thing. But I wanted to mention Jack Ablin. That's what I'm thinking of, BMO Private Bank, because he was on yesterday, Matt, and I think he's on your wavelength. His take on this is that the Fed wants to talk about quantitative easing and going toward the exit at some point to cool off the stock market, cool off the junk bond market, calm down the froth, knowing full well that given where the economy is, it will be a very slow move to that exit, and it's still very much undetermined when they'll get there.
Right, and also exactly, and so they get some froth out of the marketplace. Despite what I think Chairman Greenspan said about a week or so ago, and he said if they take the foot off the accelerator, it's never going back on. I don't know. I mean, obviously he knows more than I do, but I just think it would be very easy for them to step right back on it if things went too far in the other direction. But it's corrections are normal, and people get all worked up about what's going on the last 2 days, but we've had this huge run, and yes, even significant corrections of 10 to 15%, they're normal. They have been happening in markets for years and years, and in the great bull market from 1982 to 2007, we had them all the time, and the market kept chugging higher. I'm a little worried that this is going to be the beginning of a bigger problem long term, but near term, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves yet. Corrections are normal.
So, Matt, if we get some weak data, you know, if the data comes in a little bit worse than forecast, I mean, we already saw initial jobless claims up a bit today. Do we, you know, take that the way we did before with weak data, or do we decide, oh, well, the Fed's just going to discount this as a temporary thing and we'll be fine?
I think the Fed has definitely made a change in their policy, whether it's been because maybe it's just a change in the way they jawbone it, but they have significantly been jawboning to, we're going to keep things the foot to the pedal, don't worry about it, everything's okay, to saying, hey, wait a minute, guys, you can't depend on us all the time. You've got to look more at fundamentals. So I think they're willing to let things go a little bit further than they had in terms of deterioration than they have in the past couple of years, before they step back on the accelerator, which will lead to a lot more volatility. That's not the worst thing in the world. I know it's scary people, but it is normal.
And at some point, is there a positive psychology in here a little bit, that if we do get some backup, first of all, we need the data to back up a view the economy is at least doing okay, if not improving a bit, and of course the numbers this morning showed some improvement, is it then the case where the market says, oh yeah, well, they're not going to keep buying bonds, but that's because things are better, and you know, that's a, so you can go back to looking at potential move up in stocks?
Yes, but that's, I think, in the very long term. I think we have to go into a more normal, I mean, what they're trying to do, I mean, whether, you know, eventually do it or doing it right now, is get to a more normalized situation where rates are determined by the marketplace rather than by the Federal Reserve. The problem with that is that there will be some pain involved into that readjustment. That is very positive long term, but it may cause some people to, may cause the markets, and probably should cause the markets, to pull back a little bit. It's like anything else. Sometimes you need a little pain before you get the positive aspects of things.
Oh, baby. That's life. Indeed. Matt Maley, thanks so much. Equity strategist at Miller Tabak in Boston.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.